Hi, this is Roy Worley. Welcome to the interview show that brings on guests from all walks of life. Yeah, it's here that they tell their stories and delve a little deeper into their lives to see what got them where they are. So grab a drink, have a seat, and relax, because this is The Leo Effect.
When was the last time a short movie shook your emotions to the core? When was the last time a short movie caused you to rethink everything you stood for? When was the last time a short movie made you proud to be an American? When was the last time you felt the emotion to stand up and cheer after a short movie? The new short movie, I've Got Your Six, written and directed by Bill Foster, one of the industry's newest and fastest climbing directors, will answer all of those questions. Rarely has there been so much packed into a short movie that when you leave, you'll feel more proud of our American military veterans. A movie that was cast only with American military veterans will have you on the edge of your seat, cheering for our veterans and what makes America great. I've Got Your Six will be hitting the film festival scene soon. Be prepared to drop what you're doing and go see this powerful movie when it comes to your area. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of The Leo Effects. Now, today I am joined by a super awesome guest that I've been waiting to speak to for a while. I'm super excited she's here. We've only heard about each other through other people, so we're finally talking for the first time, and I get to know her through all these questions. But please allow me to introduce Eileen Shapiro. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, and I'm glad you're well as well.
Yeah, you know, with everything going on, any day that you can say you're feeling well, you're one step up, I think.
For sure.
So I guess we could just jump right into this and get this whole thing going. And what exactly brings you to the show today?
Well, besides the point that I've been wanting to meet you, and because I've heard so much about you, I would say that the fact that, like you, I love to interview people and I have a book coming out. I don't know, maybe through your questions we'll discover a good answer to that.
Well, that's actually a pretty good lead-in. I mean, you are half of the team of World Star PR. You're an author, which is amazing. I do want to ask you about that because you do have your book coming out, and I want to know more about that as well. But so I guess kind of jumping in to start maneuvering our way through all these topics, like, when did you realize that you wanted to be a writer?
I probably still haven't realized it, but but when I was about 16, I was going to nursing school, and I was in love with Star Trek, and I was more in love with Mr. Spock or Leonard Nimoy. I'm not really sure which one. It was kind of like a fangirl crush, and I met somebody that owned a store in the city called the Federation Trading Post, and from there, I became friends with him, and from there I started to write for the Star Trek Giant poster book. And then Paramount licensed a book called the Star Trek Medical Reference Manual, which I got to write. And then the first person I ever got to interview in my entire life was Leonard Nimoy. So after that, man, I was kind of hooked. Yeah. So I think I realized then that it might be a good idea for me to, like, be a writer rather than a nurse.
All right. And you did enjoy Star Trek, not just Leonard Nimoy, right?
I loved Star Trek. It was great. I loved it.
Awesome.
I still love it.
Yeah. They're coming out with new stuff all the time. And, you know, they're I don't know. Are they still working on, what was that, Discovery that just came out? I know they've got Picard going right now.
They do. You know what? I don't know that much about it.
Okay.
But, you know, my Star Trek stemmed from the original Star Trek. And, you know, more so than any of the other Star Treks that came out later. But the last Star Trek that came out, Into the Darkness, I actually got to interview the director of it. And he actually used my book as a reference for part of the movie for, I believe, Vulcan... physiology.
Yeah. That's awesome. That just blows my mind right there. I'm a Trekkie myself. I enjoy that.
Yay.
So. How long did it take you to write that first book?
It really didn't take that long. I had a team with me, somebody doing the drawings, and I did all the medical stuff and the scientific stuff. But the book is full of illustrations and drawings and stuff like that, more so than, you know, any literary great writing efforts. It was written as if it were a textbook.
So. Oh, yeah. Okay. I see. Mm-hmm. And your book that's coming out soon, that's not written that way, I'm guessing.
No, not at all. Well, it's kind of written kind of cool. It's called Waiting for Adam. Mm-hmm. And it's about all the people that I had to interview before I could get to interview Adam Ant, which was another one of my fangirl things. And it took me 6 years and I met the greatest people. I interviewed the biggest stars until I finally got to interview Adam Ant.
Oh, wow. And how long did it take you to write that book?
Like 3 years. Oh. It really did because I did it in between. I write for like 50 publications, so I did it in between all of that.
Oh, I see. So you just kind of did it as almost like a hobby.
Like a labor of love hobby. And then included in the book is all of the interviews that I did. Well, not all of them, but a good number of the interviews that I did on the way to interview Adam Ant. Mm-hmm.
And is it like a transcription of those interviews, or do you just talk about the interview and how much fun you had or didn't have?
Both.
Nice.
You know, there's little anecdotes about the people, and then the actual interview is in the book.
Wow, that's crazy.
Uh-huh, it is. And then there's, you know, different pictures of the artists that I got through my photographers and through them at concerts and different events that I did in order to interview people, red carpet events and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. When is Waiting for Adam coming out?
Well, it's coming out May 25th.
May 25th.
Right now, it just started pre-sale, but I have no links yet because I'm not technically smart, so I can't even give you a link. But it is coming out May 25th.
Okay. All right. I think you're plenty smart if you made your way through all that. Navigating your way through all this. And I'm sure that dealing with all these different celebrities and things like that, that had to have lended itself to you becoming half of the world star PR, yeah?
It did. It actually did. Because I didn't like what, you know, super expensive PR people did to their clients, charging them extra for this, that, the other thing. And myself and my partner, Jimmy, had more contacts because of, you know, all these interviews and his interviews than anyone else we knew. So we already had the contacts. We were already writing for the publications. And we already had, you know, the various radio shows and podcasts and places in which we could put our clients. So it all kind of came together.
Yeah, that definitely sounds like it just kind of worked itself to be that way. Like it was destiny.
Definitely destiny. It was definitely the universe.
And do you plan to write any more, or are you kind of focusing your efforts more on the PR side of things now?
Well, the PR thing kind of goes alongside the journalism. And I am going to do a sequel to the book called Waiting for Billy, because I still want to interview Billy Idol.
Oh.
So if anyone out there knows him, just find me.
That's cool. So what I was on your website and I saw that it says celebrity rock star journalist. What does that mean?
You know what? I don't know. I didn't make the website. My photographer, Billy Hess, made the website for me. And what it is I pretty much interview celebrities, but I also interview indie people and interesting people, you know, that deserve a rise, you know, deserve to rise.
Okay. Yeah,
everyone should have a fair chance. But I do interview a lot of celebrities. I've interviewed Diana Ross, Annie Lennox, Spandau Ballet, Emma Stone, Brooke Shields, Jennifer Hudson, and just, you know, Scott Page from, who's also a client, by the way, from Pink Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, I've been really lucky to meet a lot of these people that I interview, and to Cyndi Lauper, I've interviewed 12 times.
Oh my goodness.
They keep coming back for more, which is great.
Where can people go to find those interviews? Is it something you write, or is it something you actually do audio like I'm doing?
I don't do audio. I actually write them.
Okay.
And, well, they can go to my book to start with, but until that comes out, they can actually go to Get Up Magazine, Louder Than War, Huffington Post. They can go to almost any magazine that I write for and find them.
Dang. Huffington Post, you're fancy.
I have a Facebook page. They can find them there, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So pretty much if you Google Eileen Shapiro, you will find it. You'll find it almost anyone I wrote for about.
Right on. And you're obviously, since you made the comment about Waiting for Billy, you're still doing your journalistic interviews, aren't you?
I am.
Nice.
I am. I'm like I said, I'm really, really fortunate. I just did Pia Zadora, who was great. I did Adrian Barbeau recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, especially now, people are looking for interviews and magazines are looking for content because there's no events going on. There's nothing really new except what's going on with the coronavirus, and people are sick of it already.
Right.
So, I mean, I interview as many people as I can all the time. And I have great clients, so I interview them a lot. And, they're fun. They become like family.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your inspirational moment that said, you know what, I think I kind of want to write these journals and interview these, A-listers?
Well, like I said, I wanted to interview Adam, and I knew that Adam just wouldn't talk to anybody.
Okay.
So I figured I had to start somewhere, and I started with Get Out Magazine, which happens to be the number seven LGBT magazine on the planet.
Wow.
And a lot of people, they like the gay audience, and a lot of people requested interviews. I started, the first famous person that I ever did was Sandra Bernhard. And from her, it just kind of spiraled. People just came. They wanted interviews. Annie Lennox, Rick Springfield. I mean, they love the magazine. It's an in-print, beautiful magazine that comes out weekly. And then I started writing for HuffPost, and people love that. And then I started writing for Louder Than War, which is a British publication, but it's number 41 most popular and influential pop culture and music magazine on the planet. So the more I wrote about people, the more people wanted to be written about, if that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of to shift gears just a little bit, I'd like to talk more about your PR work, if that's okay.
Yeah. Shoot.
Cool.
That'll work.
So you had said earlier that, you're taking on all kinds of awesome clients like Scott Page, and you're also taking on the people that just need to be boosted. And is there something particular that you look for in a client?
The desire to be known, really. All of our clients are very motivated, or they probably wouldn't have hired us. And like I said before, I'm really lucky. I have the best clients. Everyone from cute little Ian Garin, who is an R&B pop artist who happens to live in Mexico, to someone like Frank Schubert, a.k.a. No Mansfield, who's been in the business a million years.
Mm-hmm.
And has played with everybody on the face of the earth, like Rod Stewart and Berlin and all of that. And he started a band, Revolution, and he's like so cool, and
yeah,
people need to know about him. People need to know about Revolution. But I get excited about my clients because they get excited about what they're doing. So I don't really look for anything in a client except the desire to make it, to let the world know about them.
Gotcha. That makes sense. Have you ever had a client that just wasn't quite right for you?
Well, you know what? We adjust. Let's put it that way. I've never had a client that I hated.
Okay. All right.
I've had clients that only stayed around for a month because they only had maybe one thing to promote. And then we have clients that come back and forth. They have nothing to promote, so they leave. And then 6 months later, they do, so they come back.
Oh, okay.
But I can't ever say that I had a client that you know, in my heart, I would say, oh my God, I wish I didn't have that client. Or Jimmy, you take this client because I hate them. That really never happened. Most of my clients are very respectful when we ask them to do something. You know, they understand it's for their benefit. So I don't really get clients disputing or getting angry or anything like that. And I haven't ever had a conflict with any of our clients, and neither has Jimmy. So pretty much they want people to know about them. So they'll do almost anything to do that. Almost anything in the realm of business to do that.
Right, right. That's awesome, though, that you've kind of been so fortunate like that. Like, what is it that a PR agency does for the clients? What is it exactly that you do?
Well, what we do is if a client has something to promote, whether it be a record or fashion, or some of them are models, like one of my favorites, Sherry Nelson, acting, whatever it is they do, whatever it is they're promoting at that moment, we help them bring it forth into the world so that people actually know about it. Okay. And, you know, in some cases it might be they don't have nothing to promote but themselves. So we introduce them to the world. And people like Scott Page, the world knows him already. But he works on different projects that he wants people to know about, or more people to know about. So what we do is we systematically make the whole planet know about what they're doing and who they are.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by putting them on different talk shows and podcasts and things like that?
Yes, and by helping them with their social media.
Cool.
That's social media guru Jimmy's job. we put out press releases. We have them on various radio shows, television shows, and sometimes we have events around them. We do red carpet events that we invite them to. Anything that brings them into the public eye, we do.
Okay, right on. Mm-hmm. And what do you find to be the hardest obstacle, like, within the PR world?
You know what? I haven't really found a hard obstacle yet.
Nice.
I wish I had more shows to put them on, or I wish I had, you know, I wish I can get every one of them on Jimmy Fallon. That's my biggest obstacle. So Jimmy Fallon, if you're listening, I have great clients and you need to get them on your show. But I have no fear. I'll walk up to anybody and ask them, you know, for anything. And I'll trade sometimes. You know, sometimes I'll find, for example, a radio host, and I'll say, I'll tell you what, you put this artist on, I'll interview you and put you in 10 publications. So I do whatever I have to do, you know, to make it easier on my clients and myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't had any terrible obstacles yet, to be honest. I mean, this lockdown thing is an obstacle in a way, right. but in a way it's good because people are forced to read and listen and watch now. True. They're not going to events. I feel bad for my clients who, especially the musical ones, who wish they were out there playing live, but they're not. So they might as well do interviews.
You know, that's very true. Yeah. And where did the name World Star PR come from? I mean, it sounds pretty innocuous, but like, is there some kind of cool hidden meaning to it, or?
Not at all. Jimmy and I were talking one day and we said, what are we going to call this? And we went through about 6 or 7 different names that we liked them all. And then we just decided on this one. And it was available in the corporate world. So we said, that's it. You know, it kind of fit. We liked our, Jimmy found the logo and all of that. And it was a good name. It was a good name. World Star, I mean.
Yeah, it really is. It just fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like it.
It's easy and it's people remember it kind of. Hopefully, sometimes.
Right. Well, one could hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe we could kind of dig a little bit more into the person who is Eileen.
Well, you'd have to probably ask somebody else who Eileen is, because you know what? Eileen is a journalist, a people person, love people, and sometimes they even love me back. But it's hard to really speak about yourself. Like, okay. I'm not one of my own clients. Otherwise, I would know how to deal with
it. Well, luckily, I have some questions that might be able to help with that.
Shoot.
Between your journalism and being a publicist and just doing all this just fantastic stuff for people, do you have time for your own hobbies?
My hobby is writing, so I have to say yeah.
Hey, well, there you go.
If someone would lock me in a room for 48 hours and say, all you can do is write, I would probably say thank you.
I love it. Do you have a like a go-to snack or food that you like to munch on while you're writing? Or even when you're just got your feet up relaxing?
That's an interesting question. I'd have to say it depends what day it is. Right now, I'm on, you know, it's hard because right now I'm on a diet, so maybe that's not a good question at the moment.
Well, that's kind of everybody's favorite question right this moment, because all of us being trapped, you know, we all kind of have our vices that we're resorting to.
Mm-hmm. True.
Do you have any, like, quirks or talents besides what people already know about you? Like, maybe something that you kind of keep to yourself? Like, are you really, really good snapper? Or can you, like, whistle really well?
No. I am an open book. Anyone that knows me, I have different color hair. I mean, I have purple and blue and pink hair.
You do.
That might be a little quirky. I don't know. Is it?
It's very lovely though. It fits your personality.
I don't. I think I'm like pretty much regular. I'm not going to say normal, mind you. I'm going to say regular. I have 9 grandchildren that are kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do they think that what you do is pretty cool?
They do.
They're like, man, Grandma gets to talk to all these super awesome people.
Well, some of the older ones I bring with me, even the little ones, I bring with me to some of the concerts and stuff. The kids have met Billy Idol. They've met Impractical Jokers. I even brought the oldest one to an Adam Ant concert, and he hung out with the band. So, they really think it's cool. They're into rap and stuff like that, but they, you know, anywhere I take them, they love to go.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have like a little catchphrase or something that you say all the time, or maybe that you catch yourself saying, you're like, oh man, I say that too much?
Oh, I don't know. Do I? It's funny, when I interview people tend to do that.
Right.
Some people say kind of a lot. Mm-hmm. Some people say like a lot, especially LA people. They like to say like a lot. I say a lot, which is horrible. So I have to like stop that.
That's fair.
But
you don't have like a trademark quote that's yours?
I don't. I really don't. Not anything I could say on the radio anyway.
Perfect.
Yeah. Let's just say that.
All right. We can leave it at that. What do you think your advice would be to somebody who's just, and this is a twofold, you can either answer it with one answer or you can do two separate ones, but if somebody were to come up to you and they're just starting out as a writer or just starting out as a PR person and they say, Eileen, what advice do you have for setting out in this world? What do you think it would be?
My advice to them would be, come sign on as an intern and we'll teach you. I will tell you this, writing, people think it's a talent, but it's really not. It's a learning thing. It's a practice thing, like playing a musical instrument. The more you do it, the better you get at it. I don't think it's anything that you learn. I was never an English major. I could always write, but the more I write, the better I get, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, the easier it becomes. And as far as being PR, definitely sign in as an intern. We'll teach you everything. I'm not sure being a PR person is anyone's dream that they're born with. You know, it just kind of happens, and it's fun. I'll tell anyone that wants to do it, it's the most fun thing you can do on this planet in this lifetime.
Nice. And that's kind of how it happened for you. It just spontaneously happened, huh?
So spontaneous. Everything I've ever done in life is spontaneous. I even had my kids spontaneously.
Well, you know, it's always good to have a little spontaneity, you know? When it things is. Get stagnant, it's like, I wish I had some spice.
It totally is.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with this last little bit of the show, would you like to let the people know, if you have them offhand, what your social medias are so they can go follow along with all your antics?
I have a Facebook page, which is just Eileen Shapiro.
Okay.
Instagram, which is Eileen Shapiro 3, and Twitter is Eileen Shapiro 3, and they have no idea what my website is. I think it's eileenshapiro.rocks, I think.
Okay. All right, I'll buy that. And you know, it's all fine in any way, because I will find it and I will post a link to it in the description of the podcast. That way people just one-stop shopping.
You'll hunt me down like a wild animal. I love it.
Well, I don't know about all that, but, you know, when you really fanboy over somebody.
There you go.
Eileen, I want to say thank you so very much for coming on the show today and talking to me and just letting me know a little bit more about you and talking about your book, Waiting for Adam. I can't wait for that to come out. That's going to be an awesome book. I can't wait to read it.
I will absolutely send you a copy. And I want to thank you for your time and for everything that you do for people that are on your show. Everyone I've spoken to that has been on your show absolutely loves you, adores you. And which is a good, you know, which is like the greatest thing. And you are a lot of fun, and I agree with them.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, just like you, I like to put out a good show. I like the guests to have a good time, and I'm just here to help them be heard by the world, you know?
Well, now you owe me an interview. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Anytime.
So I'll email you and you tell me when you're available.
Perfect. I love
it. And I'll turn the tables on you. There you go.
Well, I'll do my best. I will not let you down.
I'm sure you won't.
And you know, I wouldn't be doing this show at all if it wasn't for awesome fans like you who tuned in to check this out. It's been so amazing. This has been quite a run. And it's all because you keep listening. You keep listening, I keep putting out a show. That's how this business works. Supply and demand. Thank you all very, very much. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Now that was an awesome interview. Thanks so much for listening. You all are so great. And don't forget to head to Facebook, Insta, and Twitter and follow The Leo Effects. If you want to hear some comedy and ridiculous voices, check out Shattered Dungeons on YouTube and all other places podcasts can be heard. And you'll hear me voicing crazy characters, usually pretty terribly. So thank you so much. You all are the absolute best. And we will see you all on the next episode.